Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northland International University. And Doc, we're going to jump right back into a discussion that we've been having together out of the first Psalm. And really, we've been talking in our series, Cultivating a Successful Life. We've been talking about the concept of blessability. How can I become a person in my inward life that can enjoy the blessings of God? Somebody that God would look at and say, now, that is a person with whom I am pleased. You know, we know we're always blessed in Christ. But there is a sense in which we can live in ways that grieve God and that remove the blessability of our life. And we see that right here in Psalm 1. And in the last broadcast, we talked about really the negative aspect. Here's what we are not to be like. And a blessable person does not walk according to the counsel of ungodly people. In other words, he commits himself to right advice and he avoids the advice of ungodly people. He commits himself to a right action in his life. He avoids the pathway of sinners, and he commits himself to cultivating and guarding a right attitude toward God and his word by avoiding the seat of the scornful. And we mined a lot of truth out of that first verse. It was a very encouraging thing. But today we're going to look at the second verse. And you and I were talking about maybe trying to figure out how to introduce that to the listeners. And you mentioned the concept of a battery. And I immediately thought of an experience I had last week at the airport when I was coming home from a ministry trip and came home and put the key in my Jeep and turned it over, and there was nothing. It was 10 at night, and I had to call somebody to come over, and then 45 minutes later, we're trying to get this battery started up again, and we had to use a set of jumper cables. And the thing that impacted me about the illustration you were talking about or the image is I had to attach a negative and a positive cable to the battery to get any juice.
Right. That's where your power is. You have a negative and a positive post before you get that power flow. And I have often compared the Christian life that way. There's certain negatives.
Yeah, like we saw in verse 1. That's the negative. That's the black cable that we're going to attach to our battery post.
But some people get convicted. In other words, they're in a message, and the Spirit of God convicts their heart. There's things in their life. There's attitudes. There's actions. There is advice that they have followed that's wrong, and they get convicted of this, and they say, by God's grace, I'm just going to stop this. And then 2 weeks later, they find themselves unable to maintain the decision that they've made, and they're powerless to do this. It's because they have decided, I'm going to put off, but they have not put on. Yeah. You see that put off, put on principle throughout the teachings of the New Testament. And to me, an excellent verse in this is James chapter 1 and verse 21 that shows this contrast. And I have, in preaching James 1:21, I have gone right back to Psalm chapter 1 as a case in point. And why don't you read James 1:21?
Yeah, this is that passage. You know, it's interesting because James in the New Testament is kind of like the wisdom literature of the New Testament. Psalms and Proverbs are wisdom literature in the Old. Well, James is like that in the New. And in verse 21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness or overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness, and that's interesting, the implanted word which is able to save your souls.
Right. Now, was he talking to believers or unbelievers?
He's talking to believers.
Yeah, and what did he mean, save your soul?
Well, that's an interesting expression.
Right. He wasn't talking about a person getting saved and they're going soul winning. This is talking about the mind, the will, and the emotion of that person. When I'm saved, my spirit is quickened. I am regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
Then the sanctification process begins. That is the process within my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. Mm-hmm. That's where the filling of the Spirit is in Ephesians 5:18. And that filling of the Spirit allows the indwelling Spirit to be freed to work, to control my life so that my external activities, my choices, yielding my members, is directed by the Holy Spirit. And that's Romans chapter 6 is that same idea.
Yeah. Well, in that James 1:21, you have both that negative and positive again. You've got to lay off and you've got to receive.
Yeah, lay apart, and you take the two verbs, lay apart, receive. When I memorize Scripture, I always memorize verbs, and then I memorize the activity around those verbs. So when I think of this, you put off,
and you put on.
Receive. Now, what do I put off? I lay apart the filthiness of the flesh, superfluity of naughtiness, literally the overflowing of wickedness. Okay, is that victory? Is that power? No, that's step one.
That's putting the black cable on the battery.
That's the black cable.
And
now
that's all you
up.
Got. You're not going anywhere. Then
you hook up your red cable to the positive post and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul.
And boom, there's power. There's all of a sudden it's flowing in.
Yeah. Now, go back to Psalm 1 and read verse 2, because now we enter the contrast, because verse 1, we said a blessable person is perceptive in his walk. Then we see, secondly, verse 2, he is prepared in the word, or he is saturated in the word. Not only separated from the world, but saturated in the word.
To use our battery imagery, verse 1 is the black cable.
Yes.
I'm putting off these things. I'm avoiding things. Now we're going to attach the power cable, the red one. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. So there's now all of a sudden the inflow of power to continue to avoid the things that we read about in verse 1 and to do the things we're about to read in verse 3.
Yeah, because if I attempt just to live verse 1, I don't have the power within me.
Mm.
I cannot fight this battle on my own. You look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Adding to faith, virtue. That's the negative part.
Mm-hmm.
To virtue, knowledge.
Knowledge.
That's the positive part. Virtue is the black cable.
Knowledge is the red cable.
The red cable. And then what flows after that is the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
Self-control.
Mm-hmm.
So you see this concept all the way through here, the positive and the negative. And where we see in this verse, I see three things in this verse. I see a contrast. This is verse 2. But is the contrast word here.
Here's what he doesn't do, contrast is what he does do.
Yeah, and delights in the law of the Lord. That's the commitment he makes.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, I see consistency, day and night.
Yeah, and there's that. That's what helps us to avoid being, you know, because when you're constantly avoiding things, avoiding the advice of the world and avoiding the path of sinners and avoiding the sea, you can become very quickly a very negative person.
Right, but that's not joy.
Right.
You find the joy, I mean, and the rejoicing that comes by the indwelling word that comes. You may be sitting there taking notes or driving and say, you know, I have made decisions. God's convicted me of things in my life. I know things are not right. I've confessed. I've made them right. I've actually changed friendships, but I still don't have power. And probably the step that is missing is this step.
Mm-hmm.
Of diligently getting into the Word of God. And that big contrast there, but his delight. The but is a very, very key word because it contrasts what I should not be, but how do I make the switch? It's a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
delight. I mean, how would you define delight?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about in the object of your delight. But here I actually think it's talking about not just this feel good. I just don't feel, I mean, because a lot of times the thing I delight in is actually going to cause me a little bit of discomfort. It means I'm going to have to get up early. It means I'm going to have to, but I am delighting. I am giving my orientation to this. I am becoming, developing an affinity for it, maybe would be the idea of it.
So if there are any fishermen listening, you rarely have to struggle to get out of bed, to get up early to get to your fishing spot. I mean, if you and your buddy, your buddy has a boat and willing to take you out, and it's such a delight that it's just like it's not even a sacrifice at all. But we have to leave at 4 a.m., no problem. You know, you go golfing. It's a delight. Raining like crazy. Oh, I don't quit. I see a little, because I've delighted in that day. And it was no struggle to get up. See, because it has become such a part of my life, I learned to love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get to that point? In other words, how do I get to a commitment level where it literally is my delight? Do you get up every morning, Dr. Horn, with an absolute love for the Word?
No.
No.
I don't.
My inner man wants that, but I have to overcome certain things. And
some mornings it's a real battle. I mean, you're sitting in bed going, oh, half an hour more, Lord. I'll make it up to you.
Yeah, but how does it become a delight? How do we turn to loving? There comes a time when I have to make a decision mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do. And you look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, where he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It's not a matter of delight at this point. It is addressed to my will. It's an imperative mode. You desire the word. It's a command that I follow. Now, I say, okay, but wouldn't I be a hypocrite if I read and I don't feel like it? Absolutely, you're not a hypocrite. Because unless you have already become perfect and you wake up with this delight, and you don't have to put aside any flesh desires, you don't have to put aside your own agenda, then as you begin to meditate in this, and as you begin to see this change in your man, suddenly you start making time for this. It's like getting up to go fishing. It's like getting up to go golfing. Yeah. It's like Thanksgiving when women plan their shopping trip, and they're going to be at the mall at 3 a.m. Not a problem. I mean, it is a, you have the whole day planned, and even where you're going to stop for lunch, and you left all the men home with the kids, and they end up with ice packs on their head, but you are following. And that 2 a.m. arise time to meet them at the mall at 3, not an issue.
Yeah.
Because it's,
exactly.
You know, it is. But for us to get to that point of delight, steps have to be made. Negative decisions. I can't do that. I put aside these things. Suddenly, then I start, boy, I can't wait to get into this. I can't wait to, then I start making time for these things that.
And really, maybe it started as a desperation, but that desperation sooner, more than later, turns into a delight when we see the product of it in our life.
Yeah. When we go through dark times in our life, the first tendency is to ignore anything but your feelings. And you have to make yourself pick up the word, because you have to wrestle through your own personal feelings. But then when that word is picked up and the word becomes a delight to you, that becomes your survival. And there is a desperation that comes, that turns into a delight.
Scripture is an acquired taste. We have to set our tastes. It's something that we acquire, but once you acquire it, it's sweet.
Yeah.
We're going to have to acquire a taste, and we're going to have to make a commitment to sit at the Lord's feet here in His Word. Well, I hope this is a blessing to you. And as we continue our study in how to cultivate a successful life out of Psalm 1, we trust that you will grow in your own ability to be a blessable person. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.